Greetings in the Lord Jesus. You can leave your Bibles closed this morning. I didn't think about it though. I usually get up here and tell you where you can turn to start with, but this time I'm going to preach with a closed Bible. And so let me tell you about this sermon. I'm calling it Back to Basics. And it was actually several years ago I put it together for Strasburg one Sunday morning. Oh, I don't know, but I don't think I did it on Sunday morning, but anyway, I was trying to decide what to preach, and I'm not sure how I came up with the idea, but I decided to just give them a bunch of verses that had meant a lot to me over the years, and I prepared a closed book. If I couldn't write the verse down from memory, I didn't use it, and I preached a closed book. So it's not much of a sermon. It's just a bunch of verses that have helped shape my life. And I thought, well, if they're good for me, they're good for you. And I remember as a new Christian, I was reading my Bible, finding all these things that the Lord was asking of me. And I remember thinking, I've got so many areas to grow in. I'll never get there. Well, I never have, by the way. Still have many areas to grow in, and I thought about that as I went over this. Now, recently, I did go back in and open my Bible and add the verse references because I hadn't done that the first time. Most of them I knew sort of where they were, or exactly occasionally. Some I had to hunt for. A couple I had to go to my Power Bible CD and find because I wasn't quite sure where they were. So we'll start with 6 about God. Now, they aren't in any particular order, except I did put these 6 first because they relate to God and his word, and then the rest are more general. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17 is where you find it. And so, closed book or open book, this is where we find truth. You find it with it open, by the way. We should be reading it, we should be imbibing it, making it our life. I've staked my life on this book. Tried to, at least. It's able to make you wise unto salvation. Paul talks about the washing of water by the word. He said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish what he sent it out to do. When his word comes into us, it accomplishes what he sends it to do if we interact with it and take it. Thy word is truth. Second one, but God, who is rich in mercy, and I'm not sure I can go on by memory, but it comes from Ephesians 2. But God, if it weren't for God, we'd still be in those first few verses of Ephesians living after the. And you can go through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Do it sometime with your Power Bible CD or whatever you use and look up but God and notice the places it's used. When God comes into the picture, things change. By grace are you saved. God who is rich in mercy. Next one. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. That's Jude 24. He is able. He can do it. Well, we know we have a part two, but he is able. Don't forget it. And this one's somewhat similar. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 and 5:23, Paul says, and I can't quote it exactly, but the God of God will preserve you body, soul, and spirit. And then he says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You need something done for the glory of God, faithful is he. Next one. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Not quite an exact quote, but that idea. We know. Romans 8:28, you know that reference probably. We know that all things work together for good. All things. the bad ones, the everyday ones, the ones we consider good, God uses them for good in our lives. That's not always easy to remember. You get in a situation like Job, and yet I think Job remembered it. Next one is similar, maybe. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift. God gives good gifts. James 1:17. God gives only good gifts, and there's no changing in God. He's totally good all the way through. He never sends us anything bad. Yes, we have things that aren't what we would call good, but he wants our good. All right, those were about God. Now let's just think about us, a whole lineup of things that make up successful Christian living. And I don't know that these are necessarily in any given order. First, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17:3, Jesus' high priestly prayer, speaking to the Father. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the true God. That's it. It's a relationship. It's knowing God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath shown unto us, and that we should be called the sons of God. Something like that. I used to know that verse. Goes right along with that. He's made us his children. We know him. It's not just a legal relationship where somehow God took me out of the world column and just set me in here and I'm his child now and nothing changes. I am his son. You are his daughter. We look like him. We act like him. We know him. If we know him, that's true anyway. Next, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. New creations in Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual reality. If you came to the Lord Jesus, the Spirit came in and changed you. He keeps on doing that as we keep on abiding in him. And if we don't keep abiding in him, that just sort of dies. And we can go completely wrong. But now, in Christ, we are fundamentally different than what we were. I remember it so well, that morning I got up 44 years ago after I became a Christian the night before. I kind of walked around in a daze and something was different. I knew it. It wasn't just that I didn't smoke the cigarettes that lay there. It wasn't just that I was trying not to cuss anymore. It wasn't God had come in and done something, and I knew it. Next, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. If it's true that we're new creatures, if it's true that we're sons of God, we've got reasons to rejoice always. And the next one is like unto that, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Why? Because that's God's will for you, for me. In everything. Because we know that all things work together for good. Because we know that all good gifts come from God and there's no shadow of turning in him. Because we know him. In everything, give thanks. Next, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6, right along with that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's verse 1 in Hebrews 11. Faith pleases God. And we don't separate faith into saving faith and some other kind of faith. At least we shouldn't. I hear that done, and it bothers me a little bit. Why was Abraham saved? Because he exercised saving faith, or because he believed God and did what God said? How are you going to get through tomorrow with your struggles and glorify God if it isn't by faith? And it's walking by faith that, yes, saves us, keeps us saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so you go into tomorrow and something big hits and we forget him. We're not pleasing him anymore, at least in that time. Next, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That's the proper order from Mark chapter 12, verse 30. This is square one. This is where you start. Jesus said that's first. That must be first. And so when Jesus spoke to the church, well, one of the churches there in Revelation, he said, nevertheless, I have this against thee, that thou hast left thy first love. Somehow it's fundamental that we love God with all our hearts. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We know that. The next one kind of follows along with it. Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Matthew 25. That's the second commandment. From a little different angle, where Jesus said, if you've done it to one of these, my brothers, you've done it to me. And sometimes one of these, my brothers, isn't the kind of person you feel like getting involved with. He might be 30, he might stink a little bit, he might have long, straggly hair, and maybe be a little drunk even, or whatever. We don't know that. It says one of the least of these. So, next. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap in due time if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let's keep on pouring our lives out for others. Another one. God loveth a cheerful giver. 1 Corinthians 9:7, and people who know the Greek tell us that that word cheerful in the Greek is the word we get our word hilarious from. God loveth a cheerful giver. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Does anybody know where that's found? I was curious. I forgot to look it up. It's not in the Gospels. It's Acts what? Okay, somewhere in Acts. All right, that's fine. We'll get it later. Where one of the disciples said Jesus said it. Oh, Paul. Yeah, Paul said it, I think. Maybe. I'm not sure. But he was quoting Jesus. So we need to be givers. That ought to be our mode of operation. Money? Well, sure. It's okay to give money. In fact, if we're givers, we will be giving money. Time, energy, our lives serving others. It's a spiritual result of a spiritual relationship with Christ. Next, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you know the context there. He's talking about food and raiment and needs. He says, don't be like the Gentiles, the nations, the people out there. Don't worry about food and clothing and that kind of thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I took that verse a long time ago and kind of made it a goal or a motto. I've tried to live by it. Our first love needs to override anything else, physical and financial desires or whatever. We seek him first, we trust him for the rest. Next, for to me to live is Christ. Paul said it, Philippians 1:21, I think. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's easy to say, and yet as I think about how I spent last week or how I'll spend this week, you know, I have to stop and wonder, am I living up to it? Is this really right? To live is Christ. It's a goal we set. But yes, we have to deal with life's necessities. There's job, there's family relationships, changes, weddings, illnesses, cancer, weaknesses, struggles, dreams, desires. Somehow, over it all, we need to keep coming back here. For me to live is Christ. Whether by life or by death, Christ is glorified in my body. A couple verses later, Paul said, that's the way I want it to be. Whether by life or by death, Christ shall be glorified in my body. How do you make that happen? Well, I'm not here to give you the answers. I'm here to challenge you. All right. Another one. The foundation of God standeth sure. This has always been an interesting verse to me because Paul says that. This is 2 Timothy 2:19. And whenever I come across a verse like this, seek ye first, or the greatest commandment, or here's the foundation of God. The foundation of God standeth sure. When I find a verse like this, I take note and look at it and try to figure out what's going on. Well, I like this verse. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. And then he gives two seals. It's a two-part seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows his own. Actually, that's a quote from the story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, where you had Korah and 250 people rising up and saying, listen, Moses, we're somebody too. You don't have the right to tell us what to do. We're all holy people. And God said, the Lord will show who is his own. And that's where this part of the verse comes from. The Lord knoweth his own. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God knows his own, and if you are Christ's, depart from sin. God knows our hearts. He knows us. We know him. It's that relationship again. We know him. We have a wholesome fear of disobeying him, of displeasing him. We don't sin. Another one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I always equate this one with nonconformity. I don't know, I always felt like it's sort of like a Mennonite verse. We claim this one for us and our nonconformity. When I came into the Southeastern Conference from Virginia Conference, I did a bunch of reading on nonconformity and other things, and this verse came up a lot. That's okay. It's not the whole story by any means. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed. Don't be poured into the world's mold. Give your body to God. Give your life to God. It's a reasonable thing to do. It's your reasonable worship, some of the versions would say. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. So let's give ourselves to God. Next. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but are of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Not sure if I quoted that totally correct, but anyway. I like this verse because it tells us very plainly what the world is. And it seems sometimes we have a little trouble figuring that out. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, that's the gimme, gimme. I want to have it. That new pickup, that new refrigerator, that new sewing machine, that stuff that I want. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, that's the passion. I love to eat. There's the sex drive. There's the passions are all in that. The pride of life. Look at me. I'm somebody. I want to be important. I want to be president. Or I just want to be noticed. That's all in the pride of life. What's the world? The world is self. And that's the way the world out there lives, for self. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. I love my Lord, so I renounce the world. Selfish pleasure, the gimme-gimme mentality, the me-centered ambitions. They're not for us. Next, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Context is the Lord Jesus talking about his return. He says, if you're up on the roof, don't go back down to get your pocketbook. Well, it doesn't say it quite that way, but that's the idea. Remember Lot's wife. So Hebrews says, take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. The victory's won. We've been delivered. We are children of God. But we live in a sin-cursed world, one that is very much like the one Lot's wife lived in. Lots of good things. Lots of wealth. Lots of comfort. Lots of sugar. Philip Martin talked about sugar one evening. He said, we've gotten kind of used to it. 150 years ago, you used just a little bit, and sugar was for dessert. Now it's in everything. And you know, that's true of a lot of other things. We've gotten used to a lot of things. It probably would be better if we restrained ourselves a little bit. But anyway, Lot's wife lived in a place where the things of Sodom got a hold of her, and she had trouble leaving. And Jesus said, I'm coming again. Remember Lot's wife. It's not going to be a time to hesitate. It's not going to be a time to have your heartstrings tied to something here. Next, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. This is a spiritual principle. It's always true. It never fails. He goes on and says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So being like Christ in humility, in pouring out our lives for service to others, those are our highest goals. Everywhere around us, people are climbing the ladders to success, to power, to whatever. We're climbing the ladders down. We need to renounce pride and self-expression and selfish expressions. We need to be a little afraid of them even, because they just come natural. All right, another one. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for the powers that be are ordained of God. Well, can't quote it great right now anyway. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. He that resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And so we have authorities over us, all of us do. Paul says to resist those is to resist God. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, is the way Samuel told Saul. We cannot prosper spiritually if we resist our authorities. That's just the facts of spiritual life. Along with that one is this one: obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with sorrow. So yes, we're supposed to obey those among our leaders in the church, the conference, the district, ministerial directives, those kind of things. No, you can't prosper spiritually if you disobey them too. But it's so easy. And I hear it done, and have even done it myself a time or two. Yes, I know the church says, but it's easy to find some reason why it doesn't apply to me. Tell that to God when you stand before Him. Think about Achan. Next, let us do good unto all men, especially them that are of the household of faith. Let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. Be ready to help your brothers and sisters. Receive one another. Christ loves the church. We all do too. Even as Christ loved himself for it and gave himself for it. He's the head, he's the body. If we want to promote Jesus Christ, we have to promote his kingdom, his body on earth. And the church is not an add-on. I live my life Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, and well, Sunday morning I go to church and I'm a good member of the bank, but I just don't want the church to tell me what to do. I don't want God to tell me what to do. Oh, I don't mind if he does, but I don't want the church to do it. Not quite sure how that works. Christ died for it. He loved it that much. We're part of it. We're to be part of it. We're to be members of it, especially them that are of the household of faith. Next, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. The Holy Spirit, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If we have not the Spirit of God, if any have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in us, he makes us God's child. He changes us. We walk in the Spirit. We go. Go ye, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel. Proclaim the truth. Some of the translations say, as you go. Doesn't always mean you have to go to Guatemala or to Peru or to Israel or wherever. As you go, go. Next, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. Also in much. He that is unjust in the least will be unjust also in much. Again, it's a spiritual principle. It's always true. People, it's not only a spiritual principle. Your employer knows it too. Why do you think he gives promotions? When you're faithful in a little bit, he knows you'll be faithful in much. So do what you're supposed to be doing, whether it's small or whether it's large or medium. Whether it's what you want or don't want. Whether it seems like a drudge. Do it well, as best as you can. And there'll be a reward. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we are stewards of the gospel. Here are a couple that I remember from way, way back, and I think probably my mom quoted these to me early on. Them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. It's another spiritual law. You want God's blessing? Honor him. Do the thing that pleases him. If you lightly esteem him, if you say, well, it doesn't matter that much, then he despises you. And I want the Lord's honor. I want to please him. So I think about my choices and try to make them so that I do please him. Actually, this next one, I don't remember where I got it or when it first hit me, but I remember having it on my bulletin board as a brand new Christian. Must have been within a couple of months. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Be careful what you put in to your heart, because it's going to come out. Be careful what you allow yourself to think. Because the things that come out of your mouth are first things that you've thought. At least they are with me. And then a couple to finish up. Without me, you can do nothing. All these basic things that I've talked about that are part of the Christian life, you can't do them. Without the Lord Jesus, you can't do it in your own strength. It's a far bigger assignment than we can carry out by ourselves. I've got so many areas still yet to grow in, but I'm not giving up. As I think about it, looking back as a young Christian and thinking about just all this growing that I needed to do, I did grow. But I have noticed that sometimes things slide back a little bit too, and we have to regrow. When we stay close to the Lord Jesus, seek him with all our heart, he keeps leading us on. And so here's one last one. For so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, after he lists those, it's about 8 things he tells us to spend our lives into our lives. And he says, if you do these, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So a lot of just basic things we need to do to please the Lord to grow. By the way, I don't know if I gave a title. Back to Basics was my title for whoever writes those things down. Let's have a song.